Jackets, free minds, free people. This is a production of the Commonwealth Foundation for Public Policy Alternatives. The Box. Inside. Outside. On.
Welcome to The Box. I'm Matt Briatt, president of the Commonwealth Foundation, and your host today. And I'm joined right now by former Utah State Senator Dan Liljenquist. Dan led Utah's groundbreaking 2010 pension reform, which introduced defined contribution plans for all new state employees. Dan has a background in economics and a law degree and really helped lead the charge in Utah to bring about the kinds of changes that, well, we'd like to see here in Pennsylvania to get us back on sound financial footing. Dan, thanks for joining me here on The Box.
Hey, Matt. My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, Dan, it's 2010. It might seem like a long time ago, but really for these types of reforms to kind of kick into gear. Give us an update of where Utah stands today in terms of its pension problems, and that might help us give some guidance as to where we ought to go here in the Keystone State.
You know, Matt, we looked at the pension issue and determined that we had to treat the pension system almost like a chemical spill, the situation it was in. When you have a chemical spill, the first thing you do is you cap the spill and then work overtime to clean it up. And what had happened is the way the defined benefit systems work is we were making, you know, 50, 60-year commitments to individuals guaranteeing that the stock market would perform in such a way to pay for their benefit. And we just, after the 2008 market crash and seeing how much devastation that wrought on our pension system, we just thought, you know, moving forward, the first and most important thing to do is to make sure this doesn't happen again. And so we moved away from a defined benefit program to a defined contribution program for new employees with the intention that over time that we would reduce and eliminate the pension-related bankruptcy risk that the state of Utah was facing. So really it's a strategy of 30 years from now, we don't ever, you know, we want to be completely out of this game and make sure that that we are not saddling future legislators and future taxpayers with additional debt. And then what we then turned our focus to was how do we clean up the current situation and make sure we meet the commitment we've made to existing employees and retirees. So that's the approach I think Pennsylvania has to take. If you look at the $44 billion in unfunded liabilities, you're digging further and further into a hole with every market blip. And I think it's important to cap that for Pennsylvania and then work again over time to do your best to meet the commitments you've made to current employees and retirees.
Now, Dan, I know that when you proposed this in Utah, there was a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth, particularly from the government employee unions, that that this wasn't going to provide adequate retirement benefits and that you're going to end up losing good employees from public sector service. What's happened since this has been implemented? What's happened to the complement of state workers and employees coming to work in the public sector?
Well, to be candid, we had almost no change. The benefits that were still granted to employees are still very generous benefits. What the challenge is these additional expenses for the pension-related unfunded liabilities actually take money away from wages and from other benefits for employees. They end up paying for it because there's not an unlimited amount of resources to go around.
And Dan, one of the arguments, again, that is made is that, well, you know, fine and dandy, yeah, the private sector has done this decades ago and has moved away from defined benefit plans. But they will argue that, well, this transition, that there are some exorbitant costs that will be associated with this, that this is going to cost the taxpayers more. Is there any truth to that at all? Or is this going to be more expensive for the taxpayers?
It's more expensive for the taxpayers to do nothing because the liability, Matt, is what it is. If you have a $44 billion liability for the existing employees, that liability is the state's to figure out. What you don't want to do is be adding additional liabilities on top of that. That makes it even worse. So, you know, there's some arcane actuarial rules that suggest that there would be an immediate increase in costs for any reform. And those concerns have been debunked by the Pew Research Center, by the Laura and John Arnold Foundation out of Texas, and other groups who have looked into this that that says that's just simply not the case. The liabilities are the liabilities, and only it's really just accounting gimmicks that say that the costs go up when you close these plans. And so the what you're seeing is people are kind of seeing through those arguments now and saying, no, the real risk is to keep the current situation going when we know it needs to change. And so, you know, I'm pleased to see that those arguments are kind of falling by the wayside one by one.
Well, Dan, I know you've looked at what Governor Corbett has proposed here in Pennsylvania, that is moving new employees into a defined contribution plan and also looking at some adjustments to future unearned benefits, of course, not touching earned benefits to date. What's your assessment of the approach that Governor Corbett has taken to addressing this problem in Pennsylvania?
Well, I think those are reasonable changes. I mean, if you look at, again, very clearly on the moving things forward to a defined contribution style system, whether that be a straight 401k or a well-designed cash balance or a combination of the two, those approaches are very appropriate for capping the liability. But there's still a massive amount of liability on the books that has to be paid for. And I think reasonable adjustments to unaccrued benefits, meaning the benefits you earn next year versus the ones you've currently earned, should be fair game. I think it's also important to point out that there are some benefits that that the current system has that make it that are extraordinarily expensive. And there's in particular, when people retire from the Pennsylvania system, there is a lump sum program where employees can take out their money in one lump sum payment. Problem is that payment is not actuarially sound, meaning it hasn't been priced right, and it's actually costing taxpayers far more than it should. And so there's some reasonable adjustments I think can be made to the current system that would save the taxpayers of the state of Pennsylvania billions of dollars without having a material negative impact on the retirement security of existing employees and retirees. And so I hope the legislature there acts wisely and uses this opportunity to look out for the future of Pennsylvania.
Well, Dan, this issue has been framed, generally as, well, Republicans, there they go again. They're declaring war against government employee unions. And so you've got the straight ticket, Democrats on one side, Republicans on the other. What's the case that you make to Democrats as to why they really should be for this type of pension reform?
Well, all you have to do is look what happened in Philadelphia over the weekend, over the last week, where the Philadelphia School District announced they were laying off 4,000 teachers. And they're laying off those teachers because of pension costs. The average Fordham study came out a couple of weeks ago, as reported in the Huffington Post, that pension expenses for per pupil in the Philadelphia school district are $438 per student per year. That is scheduled to go from – that's, by the way, unbelievably high for right now, but is likely to go as high as $2,200 in the next 5 to 7 years. And that's just simply unsustainable. Pension reform has to happen now, or you're going to look at significant tax increases, property tax increases, and significant layoffs in public school teachers because the pension costs are just impossible to close the gap with existing budgets. And so, you know, I would say to the Democrat colleagues who are thinking of the union members, you've got to have people employed. And that's the number one thing. And if pension costs are so high and the public can't afford to come up with the money, it's going to result in layoffs. I think it would be wise for the unions to come to the table right now and offer up some of these reasonable reforms in an effort to keep their people employed. And look, this is right now is a mathematical issue. And I would say to the Democrat colleagues, it will become a political issue. if you're forcing property tax increases, dramatic increases on every Pennsylvania family at a time when they least can afford it, and have not acted on this issue, then it'll come back to harm every one of the people who have opposed pension reforms.
Well, Dan, I appreciate your joining me here on The Box today, and I appreciate all the work that you've done in Pennsylvania. I know you've visited a number of times and trying to be helpful in this as we, look to get our fiscal house in order in the Keystone State. So, Dan, really appreciate your time and all the efforts to help us do it right here in PA as you did it in Utah.
Hey, thanks, Matt. My pleasure.